Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we have finished Son of a Lich. Very exciting. We know who the son is. Finally.
Took us long enough.
I do have a warm-up for us.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Let's get us warmed up.
And I feel like it's somewhat thematically related.
Okay.
And I feel like we might riff on it a little while. Because it's money related.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here's my take that might be a bit of a hot take. I want to talk about like rich people, but not like super rich.
Okay.
Just like fairly well off.
Sure. Like upper middle class folks. Not yacht money, but like maybe lake house money.
Not quite yacht money. Yeah, maybe lake house money. That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Here's my take. I think it's immoral to be frugal if you are at lake house money.
What?
And
what?
See, I think you need to spend your money.
What does this mean?
Okay? I think that like, okay, here's the backdrop for this. I feel like there's a like constant idea of the way that people get rich and the like correct thing to do if you're rich is to not like flaunt your wealth and to not like go crazy and buy a bunch of things.
Yeah, okay.
I think you should.
No. What are you talking about?
I think that's the correct move, because otherwise you just like put it in a bank somewhere and like and like I don't know, leave a bunch of it to your kids. No. Don't do that.
Oh my. Luke, this is so funny because it sounds like you have this picture of upper middle class Americans as like dragons with a big hoard of gold that they're sitting on.
Yes, that's correct.
That's not. I don't think that's what they're doing. I don't think like okay. I think that you're getting at a larger issue, which is that inherited wealth shouldn't exist. Like I think inherited wealth should be taxed at like 100%. Because I agree with you. We shouldn't just have these dragon hordes created that just get passed on generation to generation. Like, you know, this is America. You got to make it on your own out here. Okay.
Right. Let me first say, I'm more talking about somewhat smaller purchases need to be made.
Well, like, but okay.
I don't mean that you have to have, that you have to spend all of your money and you need to get like, if you have the money for it, you need a third house or something. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. Say more.
I'm saying that if you are fairly wealthy, you need to be buying nice mundane things. Okay.
Luke is saying you need to be stimulating the economy is what Luke is saying.
If I walk into your house and you have like the cheapest coffee maker,
yeah,
and like slacks from Walmart, I'm gonna be pissed at you.
What?
Okay.
Luke, I'm gonna flip this entirely on its head because then you find out 30 years later they've been saving up money to donate to a big trust that is giving people scholarships to go to college, and you're like, ah, now I'm the asshole.
Okay.
And you know what, they don't care if their coffee maker is nice or they've got nice slacks. Okay. They are looking bigger. They're not materialistic, okay, Luke? They're looking at the big picture, okay?
Sure. This is the majority of people.
Okay, well, I don't know, though. Like, I do feel like... Here's the problem I see with this, Luke. They are stimulating a very specific, like, portion of the economy. When you're going out and buying, like, artisan soaps or whatever, like I feel like it's not necessarily like I don't feel like consumption is just good. I don't feel like consumption is a net good, Luke, all the time.
Okay, let me distinguish something here, because I want to clarify that I'm not necessarily like, your point about stimulating the economy is something, it's not really the one that I'm making.
Okay.
but it's there. And I'm not saying they should buy more things.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying buy the good things.
Yeah, but this... Okay, Luke, but let's take this to the extreme, okay? You got people spending $30,000 on a purse. Is that what you're trying to encourage?
Sure, yeah,
what?
Do it.
Oh, whoa! Explain this to me, Luke. Explain this to me.
Okay, first of all, to be clear, I'm probably the people that I'm telling to spend their money are probably not the ones that are buying a $30,000 purse. Now,
Luke, I'll just tell you like what, a lot of people are, by the way. A lot of people who shouldn't
I
be
just
are.
Like when I learn about like the salaries of people that are like doing fairly well, and it's like a fairly normal person,
yeah,
or family is bringing home like $10,000 a month, let's say.
Yeah.
You can buy a nice little appliance.
Uh-huh.
For your kitchen.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to like struggle through whatever nonsense because it's frowned upon to spend a bunch of money. Just do it. Okay, because like on the scale of the things that people spend money on, like college tuition, houses, just buy the small scale good stuff. Okay, just do it. Buy nice shoes. Okay, don't go to the shoe store and get some nonsense shoes for like $60. Buy the handmade ones for $500. Okay?
This says so much about Luke right now. Luke is telling on himself so much right now because Luke just said a family that makes $120,000 a year needs to buy more nice stuff. All right, let me just tell on Luke here for a minute. Luke is not living in a super expensive part of the country. Pretty cheap for the rent for Luke.
True.
Luke also not making a ton of money because Luke is a student. So $10,000 a month for Luke is a lot of money. And to be fair, for me, it is
also an infinite amount.
It is also a lot of money.
Okay.
I will also say Luke and I both do not have any children currently. So do not have those kind of expenses that we're working with. Also, both of our partners work as well. So like there are two incomes potentially here. Interesting, Luke. Interesting the number you've chosen of $10,000 a month, and you need to be balling out, is what Luke is saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
This also comes back to a conversation that Luke and I had in undergrad where we were like talking about what we would do if we had just a little bit of money. Like if we had just do you remember this conversation we had, Luke?
Yes. The main two were a tailor and I think a barber.
And a barber and getting a nice barber. So this is what Luke and I thought of as what you do when you have money back in, oh boy, 2015, 2014?
That's right.
A decade ago. So, I mean, I still think that, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, I'm still not there.
Many of my examples were clothing.
Oh, man. Yeah, Luke,
I
don't know about
that. So you agree with me, is what I'm hearing.
I think our threshold needs to be a little higher because I don't think a family with, like, a kid, if the total family income is, like, 100 and... Like, imagine... I'm just imagining maybe a New York City family with, like...
Okay, sure. New York, because the rent is, like, $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
Even then, I don't know. I said $10,000 a month. What are we talking about? What are people spending money on? I don't get it. Where is it all going?
This is a fair point. Dan. This is a fair point, Luke. I think kids are pretty expensive, though.
Yeah.
From what I hear, I don't have experience about this, but I think kids are a little pricey.
Sure.
You know?
Yes, of course.
Because you got to keep buying them clothes because they keep growing. Whereas my clothes, I've had them for a decade. Those things are fine.
Ever since we had that conversation about tailors, Dan hasn't changed his clothes.
I've been waiting to get a tailor so that I can finally, you know, get these clothes looking right.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. This really went off on a tangent, Luke, and I don't know where how to wrap this up and get to book talk. Honestly, I'm having trouble figuring out how to bring this back around.
It doesn't have to be smooth. Money, economy, economics.
Let's talk about books.
Son of a lich, we're in it.
okay. First thing I want to talk about with this book: how does everyone not have a wood gnome collection? You get one guy who's like, maybe I should be nice to these wood gnomes. And the wood gnomes are like some of the I think wood gnomes are the MVP for Paldo.
Yes.
They're literally like doing paperwork for him, like organizing his documents, sending messages, like sneaking around. What? He could use them for espionage.
They seem to have a lot of loyalty to him.
So much loyalty, so capable, so much more capable. They have like, I don't think he pays them. Does he?
This is my question. Okay. I don't know.
I think there's two ways to go with this. Because the first is like, he's offering to pay Thane, right? And so it does seem like he is paying everyone who's working for him. On the other end, he's not charging them rent or anything. So it seems like they're just like business partners, sort of, but it feels like you'd be paying them. I don't know. And how do you pay them?
It's not clear to me what they want, what he would pay them with.
This is fair.
Like, I know he pays the Shadowkin that he's employing.
Yes.
With probably Gilton, I think is the term for their money.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would do that for the wood nymphs. So I don't really know what he would pay them with other than like friendship.
Other than not murder.
Right. Maybe they're just like, they've been bored for a while and they're like, this is a new thing.
They're like, this is a charity for us. We'd like to do this as a charity.
Actually, here's my theory. So they're really good at this. When we first learn about it, they like organize all of his files.
Yes.
By order of, I don't know, I don't remember what it was, but something that's not like subjective.
Something that
is subjective.
Yeah, so the first time they do it alphabetically, and he's like, no, 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 I need this in order of like the most promising lead or something like that.
Yeah.
And they do it. And that to me, this to me was the signal that, oh, wait a minute. This is powerful. This is an incredibly powerful thing you've unlocked with these wood gnomes.
Right. So my theory is that they've just been training for something like this. And now that they finally had their opportunity, they're jumping on it.
Right. Right. And this is, okay, here's the thing that I don't understand, like that I'm trying to figure out why no one's hired them before. There are Shadowkin bankers. The Naga are bankers that are Shadowkin. Mm-hmm. So I get it if the like, you know, light folk or whatever they're called don't hire them because they're all racist against people who are weird or different, I should say. Why aren't the Shadowkin hiring these guys?
Do you think it? So we've really only heard about them from a few perspectives.
Yeah.
Maybe we've just been hearing the perspectives of the mean people.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like the wood gnomes are being employed
or like
doing this with other people. We're just not aware of it.
Right. Right, so we're only hearing from the perspective of Poldo and his buddies, the people he's worked for, right. And all those people are like, wood gnomes, ugh, gross. Tiny little guys who apparently can assess risk really well and alphabetize documents. Oh, but they're all over and they make you turn around three times and knock before you come in the room. Bull. Get them out of here.
Right, because this is the group of people that we learn has been kicking dogs, right?
Yeah. Oh, so sad. But yeah, it is. It is, absolutely.
So I feel like there's a chance that the wood gnomes have been a pillar in the community, just not this particular community.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is fair. I think what's confusing to me is like, I guess I just don't understand how the wood gnomes work. I guess I just, because I keep wanting to think of them as like termites or ants, but that feels racist in a weird way. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I guess so.
Because it sounds like there's a lot of them and they're really small, but...
It's kind of hive-mindy also, though, yeah. But not really.
Right, right. And they can, like, form a trench coat.
It's just great teamwork.
Yeah, maybe. But it's gotta be... It's so good, the teamwork, because they form a person in a trench coat.
Right.
That's...
Not a super convincing one.
No, but, like, one that people don't immediately go, this is a bunch of ants in a trench coat.
Yeah.
So... there's something going on here that's, I just don't understand how it works. Like, cause they can't just be a bunch of littler gnomes that are running around. Cause also, like, how do they end up places? Are they just like travel? I don't get how their society works. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
It's a fair question. I don't get it either.
Anyway. Yeah, they're great.
It's working well, though.
It seems to be working well, and I feel like more people should be employing them.
I agree. Maybe they will after news gets out.
I mean, they will, or they'll go bankrupt, because, what is it, Silver Securities or whatever is going to use them?
Right. It's not that big of an advantage, though.
I don't know, because I feel like he hasn't used them to their full extent, because people can't really see them that well.
Okay.
So you'd be like,
so
hey.
What are you thinking?
Well, you say, hey, I think Mimic and Gems Incorporated is going to do a merger with Wolfsbane Limited next week. I want you to go into their corporate offices and look at their books to see if they're actually going to do this so I can sort of undercut the deal.
Okay.
Like...
You're going mostly spy work.
Corporate espionage, yeah.
Okay, it's fair.
Or like, even just like, hey, you don't have to pay a bunch of, well, I guess we don't know if he's paying them, but I feel like there's a lot of labor they do that's really effective, and
I mean,
you probably have to pay them less. I'll say that. Because this gets back to the question we had about, does an ogre have to pay the same amount for an ale as a gnome?
Oh, this
we've yeah, had this discussion before.
Right. You probably do have to pay them less. Or in some completely
or,
different
in like crumbs and seeds mechanism. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you could get them to do other stuff. I think they might be upset to hear that you're jumping to criminal behavior. For them,
well, I mean, is it, hold on, Luke, is it criminal if they can be legally murdered by an exterminator?
This is a valid point.
if they can be literally murdered by just a guy you hire, can they do anything criminal?
I guess not.
So I say go for it, guys.
This is fair. They're when you yeah, they have basically complete because they have the opposite of complete freedom, they kind of have complete freedom.
Correct. They are outside the legal system because they have been excluded from it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. He's not quite taking advantage. He's like having them send messages, which like you can just use the little sprites to do that.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that, but maybe it's cheaper.
Be cheaper. I want to do one quick thing about the bankers, actually, since we're kind of here.
Yeah, okay.
The one thing that I appreciated is when they're talking about like trying to hire more heroes
yeah.
to man the walls.
Yeah.
And it's like the bankers in a conversation with like I think the king and like the leaders of the guild.
Yeah.
And everyone except the bankers is just like, okay, but like where is the money? Like I realize that you guys lost tracked it, but there has to be somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I kind of appreciated this little back and forth.
Where the bankers are like, it's just gone. The money is gone.
Right. And they have a little explanation that, again, as we've said, I don't know enough about the financial sector.
Uh-huh.
But it was funny. I think it was very funny.
I mean, the dwarves have to be just laughing their asses off, because they've still got the gold standard. And so they're just like, this is what you get.
That's right.
This is what you get, guys.
That's why we should never have left the gold standard, Dan, mm-hmm. as we all know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I buy gold as much as possible.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I related to this, Luke, because I agree. I think this is a very funny exchange. Also, the point where the bankers were like, the people were like, yeah, but if the undead army comes through, like, you're gonna get destroyed too, so like, help us. And the bankers are like, oh no, I'm just gonna hop on my helicopter or eagle and like dip, so I'm good,
right?
And everyone's just like, what? No, uh-oh. Can I get a ride too? Nah, you can't get a ride.
Can never get a ride.
The thing that I'm confused about, so was it Anduin, whatever this last city is called?
Anduin.
Yeah, I think that's right. This is like sort of the last city in the Freelands. Is that right?
So the Freedlands is a country.
Yes.
And Anduin, I think, is the capital.
Yes.
It's unclear to me if it's like the last, because they already destroyed two cities. I don't think both of them were in Anduin or in the Freedlands, but
yeah,
it's unclear to me if there are other ones.
Yeah. So,
but I feel like it's like, it's the biggest one. So if they take this one, then they're probably going to take everything else.
Yes. And to a certain extent, I'm asking this question about the bankers, but I think to a bigger extent about the heroes, because they mention at one point, they're like, hey, look, we don't have any money to pay the heroes, so they're not going to fight for us. At what point are you doing this work pro bono? And pun is somewhat intended here. Because, you know, you have to, if you want to continue living, I imagine stopping an undead army from conquering the entirety of Arth is in your best interest. And this is perhaps the best opportunity to have an impact on that outcome. Right.
Yeah. So I think that they've suffered a little bit from like overconfidence in the ability to overcome the challenge at some point. Right. Cause there's a few times where people are like, yeah, we've always had these mm-hmm. threats, and we always somehow, like at the end, we always win.
Right.
And so everyone's like, okay, since we're going to win at some point, I'm going to take the best opportunity for me.
Okay. Yes. I think you're right. Cause I think this is what the bankers are doing too. And everyone sort of has this belief that good is always going to win at some point, which is why all the refugees right. are just fleeing from one city to another, because they're like, oh, another attack. Well, let's just wait until it blows over.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just...
So I think you do need... You do need like it to not be about money at a certain point.
Right. Right. Because at a certain point, it's like, look, there is nothing to pay you with except for your life. Except for your continued life. So if you would help out, that'd be great.
Right. Right. This is why bards are so powerful.
Mm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Make it about the legend that you're making. Right. Right.
Speaking of legend by Gamel. We didn't actually say anything about legend, but yeah. Yeah. Can we talk about Benny Hookhand?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
This is like one of the greatest reveals of all time, right?
That it's the actual hook,
that the hook is the thing, that it was like literally a hook hand that was
it took
that was the guy
It honestly took me, like, I read it for a second. I was like, what? And I, like, had to turn back the page.
I did the same thing.
It took me a couple of those to really figure out what it was talking. And then I was, and then I appreciated it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love great, Benny Hookhand. And how cavalier they are of just like, yeah, I don't care. I'm gonna be fine. I'm a hook. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Great villain, I think.
Great villain. Now, it was unclear to me how Benny Hookhand was controlling our bard's body. Does our bard only have one hand?
No, I think it's... So I think it's a thing that you hold in your hand.
Oh.
I think there's a handle on it.
Okay.
I don't think this is like a pirate hook, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, otherwise, Bard can't only have one hand. Bard has to be able to lockpick and play instrument and... No way. Bard's got two hands, for sure.
Right. Okay. Okay. This is why everybody... So when they get there, our main crew, like Gorm and them, are like, oh, wait, it's the hook. And everyone else is like, yeah, obviously. This is why, because like they're always just holding a hook.
Right.
it's not a person with a hook for a hand.
Correct.
It's extremely obvious once you see it.
Well, and the levels of the reveal too, where it was like first you were like, oh, it's a woman. And I remember being just as confused as everyone else, because I was like, wait a minute, I thought he said he. And then I felt like a bigot.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, you never thought that the doctor could be a woman, huh? It was his mom. Anyway.
This is exactly where I went to.
Yeah. And then it was even better, because it was like, no, you idiot, it's the fucking hook. And I was like, oh, wow, now I'm really an idiot. Okay. You got me. This is really just showing my implicit biases.
You've always been anti-hook.
I've always just considered them not people, you know?
I know.
Not real people.
Which is rude. But you gotta be careful around enchanted weapons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That have their own personality. As we've learned a couple times in this book.
A couple times in this podcast, I'd say.
That's right.
So...
The other weapon that's enchanted that has its own mind is the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still don't really understand what the staff is.
It's power. Like, did you come on? Big power.
Did you really? It's just a good one.
Ooh, it's a good one. This one, it's got power in it. Ooh.
See, I thought it was gonna be like a specific thing. I thought it was like, this staff has an enchanted spell in it that's really good against necromancy.
You would think, but it's just big and powerful and good. Oh, but also it only likes certain people. That's its power. It's choosy.
It's very choosy. You got to have the right vibe, but the key is you got it. It's not necessarily like a better vibe. It's the right vibe.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know? So you have to know what that is.
Because our lich, very good vibes. The vibes for our lich, I think, are immaculate. As long as he's not talking to his son, vibes are immaculate. As soon as he starts talking to his son, down the toilet. Vibes are in the toilet for this guy.
Yes.
Up until that point, though, great. Having fun.
Which this is when the staff abandons him.
This is true. Oh, you're right. This is true. Staff's like, oh, I thought you were cool. You're not cool at all, actually.
Are we learning that the it's not necessarily Jin's like ability or power that won out?
Uh-huh.
It was more so that like he just brought out the worst in his father.
This is why the title is so important for this book.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right, Luke. But no, staff is just big, powerful staff. That's it. Which is a little bit annoying because like the crown has an effect, you know?
Right. Like a specific one.
Yeah. This staff just sounds like enhanced magic power for Omnimancers.
Which I want, though.
Also, come on, guys, why is it... I don't get the bigotry to Omnimancers. Are they just too powerful? And so everyone's like, we can't let these guys be around.
I feel like yes. I feel like that's probably a big part of it. Like, you can't do both. That's kind of unfair.
It feels like everyone's jealous. And they're like, we can't let you get away with this.
Yes.
So you have to wear gross dirt robes. And you can't practice your magic anywhere. Because you get too good. You get too good at it.
You get too good at it. I do like the robe situation, though.
The gray ones?
No. Not necessarily that they have gray robes, but the fact that their robes change automatically.
I don't know if I like that. I feel like this is just reinforcing a terrible hierarchy that exists. Like, let people wear what they want, guys. I don't want to be able to clock you from down the road how powerful of a wizard you are.
Fair. I do wish that there was an ability, some individual ability to customize.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Here's how I wish it went down. As you level up, you get more access to to accessories.
To skins. Accessorize. You can buy skins.
You get to choose which ones. Yeah.
You can buy a special pre-order pack that gives you access to 4 new wizard skins that you can customize your outfit with. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's not pay to win.
Blue camo once you level up.
Right. It doesn't actually help with your spellcasting at all. You just look different. No. So anybody can still win.
But it's not pay to win.
It's not. Yeah. We don't do pay to win. Come on. That's the rules. Although, to be fair, in this world, they would for sure do pay to win. Come on.
Yes.
They would love it. Just please don't tell them about that.
It would wreak havoc, yeah. Okay.
Does this world have too much of an obsession with paperwork? I get that that's part of the whole deal. But at a certain point, like when you have an army that's like ready to go, and you're like, we gotta finish their citizenship paperwork before we do this. What are we doing here, guys?
I think it's the issue where everyone thinks that they're all gonna eventually succeed.
Yeah,
and so the sense of urgency isn't there.
But the sense of urgency is there because Gorm is like, hey, look, if we don't do this, our plan isn't gonna work, and no one's gonna get paid for this thing.
Right, right. I would like there to be more of a reason for that, like because they had to rush through it. I would have liked there to be a little bit of confusion over who's in command kind of thing. You know, do you know what I mean by this?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these bureaucracies do have a genuine important reason.
Yes.
And so if you do need to make some kind of exception,
yeah,
there's a drawback to it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to see that.
Right. Like at the end, it turns out the people that used to be in the Red Horde only got 85% of what they were expected to be receiving because they didn't fill out a correct form and so had to pay a fee or something on their income.
I know this wasn't how the battle ended up, but they end up not having enough. They didn't budget enough food for everyone.
Ah,
that kind of thing.
In the 2-hour battle that took place.
Right. I know it didn't work out that way, but that's the kind of thing.
I gotcha. Or like the archers were like, these are not the correct specification of arrows. Like, these arrows are too short, so we can't launch them the correct distance because we didn't fill out a 3999J form.
Right. These arrows have the little things that attach to the other kind of bowstring.
Yes.
I've got circle bowstring. These have a square opening, actually.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah. That would have been good, Luke. I think it would have undermined the message of this, where it was just making fun of bureaucracy the whole time.
I know.
But I agree. It would have been good to see a reason why we do fill out forms. But at the same time, Luke, Gorm is in this meeting where he's like, haha, we gotcha. And the King Johann is like, I think I might still try and pursue you for this. And Gorm essentially says, yeah, what are you going to do? Get the people who just were rescued to go take things from the rescuers? No, you're not going to do that. And so this sort of undermines the whole reason they did all this paperwork in the first place, because it's like, yeah, they have people on their side and that's their real power here. So they can kind of do whatever they want to a certain extent. And like, they could just do the paperwork afterwards. They could do the negotiations now and then be like, okay, we'll fill out the paperwork so that this is the case. Like do right. something where the king was just like, yeah, everyone who I wave my hand at right now is a citizen temporarily until we finish your paperwork. Now get in that portal, everybody. Come on, get in there.
Right. Yeah, it mixes around a little bit for sure.
But anyway, the bigger picture here with this paperwork, we had so many opportunities for a time bomb situation. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Give me more time bombs for things that are like mundane, right. For things that are like, hey, you want to speed up that paperwork? Time bomb. Hey, you want to set up a portal and calibrate it so you can make sure your whole army gets to the battle on time? Time bomb. Like, these are not violent acts or things that would really, like, shake the core. Like, there's no paradoxes you're creating. It's literally just like, we don't have time to get through this bureaucracy to make this thing happen. Time bomb. Give me a time bomb! Just one! Yep. Especially in a case where, like, the government that would enforce the laws around time bombs is in threat of collapse. Like, you're gonna get a pardon. Give them a time bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Always go time bomb. The tough thing is, like, the one time that we got use of the time bomb is, like, not one of the best. Like, I feel like there were better times to use the time bomb.
The time bomb, okay, you're completely right, because the time bomb could have taken the place, it could have been taken by like just a distraction, just like a good distraction. Like Ocean's 11 had no time travel technology and they pulled off one of the biggest heists of the century. You're telling me that we needed to use our special time bomb to do a heist in a museum? No. That's a job for Big Loud Smoke and
for the good staff. That is generally just good.
For the just good staff. Yeah, no. That's a job for a contortionist and a smooth-talking poker-playing guy. That's all you need for that. That's everyday heist stuff, okay?
Right.
Oh, man. Time bomb. We need it in case of emergency. Time bomb. Break glass and use time bomb.
I will say I was glad to see our team that makes these little inventions join the party.
Yeah.
But I was underwhelmed by their contributions, because they were just like throwing stuff that did weird things at people.
Right. They were literally just like, here's a big bag of tricks, blow it up, go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I feel like they should have been more creative. Like, I don't know what they had in their bag of tricks.
Yeah.
But just throwing it at them is weak. It's weak sauce. Give me a more centralized plan.
I mean, you've got good and bad stuff neat in your warehouse. So like, you don't want to be just throwing both, because you're going to end up with a bone T-Rex that you accidentally created because you hit him with the dinosaur potion. And they're going to be fighting with like a scary clown zombie because you hit him with the clown makeup potion or whatever. And you're going to be like, I should have divided these into two categories. And then had one that was like, hit the bad guys with this one. And one that was like, hit the good guys with this one. And this one will make a cool T-Rex fake dragon thing that can fight against their blue eyes, white dragon or whatever, you know?
Great example. Or like, I know there's some of these in here that work off of each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any of this. I didn't see anyone throwing like a minty potion.
Ooh.
And then a really cold water potion.
Oh no.
Afterwards.
That's going to immobilize you for at least a minute.
I know. So give me some combo moves.
Yeah, the random effects, while funny, could have been better. Could have been used better, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're not professional heroes, Dan.
This is true.
They don't They're not ready for the big time. They're stuck in the lab. Classic.
Classic.
No real world experience.
Ivory Tower elites, you know.
I know. I do have a question for you that's kind of a build off of something we said last episode, where you were talking about how, like, it's actually not that bad to murder someone if you're going to turn them into an undead.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Is it immoral to kill an undead person?
Ooh. Oh, interesting. I think in self-defense, no. Definitely not.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh, no. I think so. Yeah. I think if they're just minding their own business, yeah. It is, and I would say it's equally as bad. Okay. It is equally as bad.
Right. So, actually, okay. So in this scenario, it's kind of tough because in this scenario, they're attacking, but not of their free will.
Well, okay. Yes, for sure. So all this moral, like, harm is entirely on the lich that's making them do it. Both the harm of the people who are killing them and the people who are being killed. Like, I think both of that gets put on the lich.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I actually, the more we think about this, I think it is worse to kill an undead than a regular person. I think it's worse.
And just if they're minding their own business?
Yes. In both cases, they're both minding their own business. I think it is worse to kill an undead than a regular person.
Okay.
Because the regular person has a chance to come back as an undead. The undead, that's it. That's the end of the ball game. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's worse. Because our knight commander has this opportunity to, like, reconcile with his daughter that he wouldn't have if he was just dead, right? That opportunity would not exist.
Correct. Yes.
And so if you killed him now, you are depriving him of any opportunity to ever have that reconciliation with his daughter. Whereas the first time he was killed, he still has that chance and he can still, like, sort of be around, you know?
Right. This is on the assumption that, like raising someone from the dead is fairly common.
Right. Right. And Luke, this is actually sort of getting into my last note a little bit, which is, I feel like you need to give everybody who's died a little opportunity.
Okay. Just all the time.
Yeah. I feel like somebody dies, you have to look at the family and be like, okay, we're going to bring them back now as an undead. We're going to see what they come back as. And then if they want to try it out, or if they're ready to keep going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because these undead all go to this, like, castle, this icy swampy castle, and they're going to go just do undead stuff. Some of them seem into it. Some of them are like, ooh, I kind of like being
you. Undead. You are so swayed by our lich's argument.
Oh, completely, Luke. Completely. Now, I will say, the whole slavery thing, I'm not into. Okay. Clearly sure. Bad.
Yeah.
But without that, if they're just chilling, I don't know.
Okay.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I like how
I think last episode we had asked ourselves, or one of these episodes, we asked ourselves if we were gonna take the offer of becoming undead. And I do think we both said yes that time.
I believe so.
But now you're like unequivocally. You're like seeking them out.
I think, okay, Luke, you're telling me somebody dies and the doctor and the wizard are there and they're like, we did all we could to save them. And you're like, yeah, but the last thing I told them is like, I gotta go get a sandwich. I'll be right back. And you're gonna just look at the wizard and be like, yeah, but don't bring him back because I don't want to say anything else to him. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna just let that lie. You're not gonna be like, I do have to say some other last words to this person before they go. If you could just bring them back real quick, I can say my piece and then they can go on. That's cool. Or like, I don't know. It just feels like giving people who have been murdered or like dead an opportunity to come back as something else and try something else on for size is an opportunity that you miss.
Becoming undead is overpowered. I think we got to nerf it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which, I mean, the nerf is that you kind of have to do whatever the lich says.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big nerf, I think. And also, like, you're just bones for the most part. Like, a lot of them are just bones and skelly boys.
Right, but as you said, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So a little culture change.
This is what I'm saying,
beauty
Luke.
Beauty standards are changing.
Maybe they've got a little bit of ooze. That's fine. Ooze is just a thing.
Ooze is in
this summer, guys. Phlegm is out. Ooze is in, baby.
Mm-hmm. I never thought I'd say it, but here we are.
And ichor is way out. Ichor is so 2010. But ooze? Ooze is 2024, baby.
That's right. That's right. I'm glad that ooze is finally having its day.
Luke, y'all can't see this right now, but Luke and I are on a video call. Luke is just covered in ooze right now. He's been covered in ooze the whole podcast. Oozing. Since we started this podcast, Luke has been covered in ooze every single episode, and he's finally having his day. And he is glowing. I'll say that.
Guys, listen, life is looking up for Uzi Lou, as I'm going by now.
I forgot that we had that nickname for you, Uzi Lou. I don't know if we've ever said that on the pod, but yeah, Uzi Lou is fine
now.
Uzi Lou is finally having his day, and he is really just eating it all up, along with a lot of the ooze.
It's great,
kind of just falling into his mouth. It's a lot of ooze. It's a lot.
It is. It is. And I'm not apologizing anymore. Okay. Very good. Very good. I do have one last note, but it's unrelated to the undead. So are you ready to move on from there?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So a little bit earlier, I forget her name, but our orc friend
mm-hmm.
takes over leadership of the Red Horde because challenges her brother.
Touching scene, by the way. So touching.
Very touching scene. Yes. She challenges her brother, and they have the very intense kind of and also funny banter from our heroes.
Yes.
About the strategy. You're not allowed to name champions. I know we've kind of touched on this in other books, but if you challenge someone,
yeah,
no champions allowed. I know that she doesn't in this circumstance,
mm-hmm.
but it shouldn't be part of the rules.
Well, I don't know, because I get what you're saying. If you're just friends with the biggest, toughest guy, then like you just get to win, and that's unfair.
Yeah. I mean, I realized that me coming for the champions part and not the fight to the death to surge leadership part is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
But I'm setting that part aside.
Okay.
And I just don't think that just doesn't work, because what's your role even?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to name a champion.
You're the ideas guy or girl. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I think you should be required to name a champion.
Ooh, interesting.
And here's the thing. I think you should get more than one, you know? I think maybe you get three or four champions. They can all have diverse perspectives and opinions on it, and you can really get a good sense of your constituents when you pick your champions. And so you get to pick more than one.
Okay.
You're not just picking one champion here. You're getting a coalition of champions together, baby.
To be clear, in the fight, is it a bunch of people fighting at the same time, or are you saying you're picking one of your champions?
No. You get your whole team. You get your whole team in the fight. Your team against their team.
Okay. Okay. So it's not like, what about like a Pokemon situation where it is one on one, but you can sub in and out, and you have to beat them all sequentially.
Only if when you sub in, they get to make the first move.
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just to make it fair. I don't know where this went, right, but you
convinced me. Multiple champions, I guess.
I think multiple champions.
We got to Pokemon there, which was good. Impressive on our part, I think. But
impressive. But yeah, multiple champions, I think. Better representation. You could rank them, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, but I feel like a champion's fun. My only issue with a champion is just it still doesn't solve the problem of why are we fighting to the death to decide who runs a country or a collect or a community.
Right. Okay. Let me get back to, I think, actually what my main point should be, which is that if we have decided that the way that we're choosing is fighting ability, then you can't name champions because like that's completely, so it has to be all or nothing.
Well, but I think there's a nuance to it, and it's not that the way that we're choosing is fighting ability. It's the way that we're choosing is the one who won't be killed in a fight, who won't be killed by violence, because they need a leader that's stable. They need a leader that can persist longer than it takes somebody to violently kill them within the tribe or within the clan. And okay. So they're like, okay, we just need somebody who can survive this sort of violent structure we've set up. So it doesn't matter if they are the ones who can survive or if they have a buddy who is ride or die and is going to protect them. But that's how this has to work.
Okay. I guess if that's how we're justifying it, that's fine. I do feel like I feel like that's kind of working backwards from the situation to find a way to justify it. But sure, yeah, I'll accept it.
It seems like a better way would be to just like convince enough of the people that you're the right one for the job, and then they will all protect you through their collective action.
Yeah, but who's got the time, man?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's complicated.
You got to collect little pieces of paper, and there's a lot of paperwork involved.
It does feel odd that in a society with so much bureaucracy, mm-hmm. this is like the one place that they don't have it.
Right. Is there government? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a little odd. But, you know, it goes to show that the people at the top don't have to worry about the paperwork, Luke. They get to do what they want.
There it is. There's the lesson.
And then justify it later.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's so true.
So, anyway. Wow. You know, Luke, we started this episode with the people at the top, and we ended with the people at the top, Luke. How about that?
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Poetic.
That's what you get here at Don't Call It a Book Club with Luke and Dan. We're getting good at this thing. We're getting pretty good. It's taking some practice, but I think we're doing all right. Luke, next week we're going to be doing something a little different. Next week we're going to be talking video games, TV, movies. We're going to do sort of an episode on media, like other media.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be doing our next book a week after that. So we're taking 1 week off in a little bit, but we'll announce that next time. Next time, no book for next week. We're going to be doing fantasy and sci-fi media that's been coming out in the last year. So we'll be back next week talking about media. We'll bring the hot takes.
And be the dumb nerds.